Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
1 o'clock, it's here already. Time to welcome in Sarah Cazell to Social Studies.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
How's it going today?
We're doing good. And yourself?
Doing well. Doing very well. Thank you.
Good.
All right, fellas. Social Studies is brought to you by VJ's Sweet Bippy Pickle Tortillas. Don't give me any lippy. I just want a sweet bippy.
You're so good. Look at Vitty. Yeah, I don't know why you have this effect on Vitty.
That's my favorite one so far.
The sales team sure is creative, isn't it?
Yes. I'm waiting on the t-shirt. More on the t-shirts.
That's right. All right, fellas. We are starting with the Diamondbacks. They have lost 5 of their last 6 now. Yeah, they are 3-8 on the season, as you guys were discussing earlier. So of the many concerns for the Arizona Diamondbacks, what is the biggest concern for you? Is it the offense or lack thereof? Is it pitching? Or are you not concerned yet? I have a feeling that one doesn't apply to either of you.
No. You really can't go wrong with either choice, but the hitting woes are so egregious and so anemic that I'm sure offense is winning this in a blowout.
Yeah.
And that's right vote, too.
At least we can point at pitching in a couple of the individual 11 games where you say, they got a good pitching performance.
Yeah.
They haven't had a good offensive performance really yet.
Yeah, Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen have been absolutely fine by my scorecard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the two aces that you were counting on.
That's your 3 and your 5.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Not exactly ideal.
Well, as you guys predicted, the offense is running away with it. It is 74% of the vote right now. People saying they're most concerned with the offense. 25% say pitching. 1.1% say they are not yet concerned. And I'm not even sure I believe that 1.1%.
Yeah, those are some even-keeled people.
Yeah, right.
Just real chill. Yeah.
Those are people that don't realize it's not a 162-game season this year.
or maybe Torrey Lovello voted.
Oh, yeah. Burner accounts, that sort of deal, yeah. Well, Devin Booker obviously had a hell of a day yesterday. That game-winning shot to beat the Clippers, that was some good stuff. I'm still stoked about that. Now, open-ended question, which song title or lyric best describes how you feel about Devin Booker right now?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, a lot of ballads to pull from.
Shining Star from Earth, Wind, and Fire. 99 Problems, but a book ain't one.
Hey!
I like that.
That's a good one.
I'm going through my list here on my own personal account. I'm going to say the first one that comes to me. Here it is. Didn't take long. A Perfect End by Atlas Genius. That was the perfect end to a game yesterday.
Hmm. What? By who?
I just looked at my own personal list.
What are you what?
Of songs.
I've never heard of that group before.
Oh, you have. You probably heard some of their songs.
Yeah,
right. I'm not familiar.
Vinny's just flexing his musical diversity.
Totally. This is a really good one.
I pretty much dig bands that haven't even formed yet.
Exactly. Alfredo says, you're as cold as ice.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a really good one.
That's a good one.
Ooh, I love this one from Gabbo3452. You're the best around.
Oh, yeah. Karate Kid reference.
I don't know the rest of the words to that.
Nothing ever gonna bring you down.
Yeah, that one.
Nothing ever gonna keep you down.
Okay,
well, exactly. No one knows it. Bad to the Bone. That's a strong one from AZ Beer Dad.
I like that.
Here's one from Dalton. Unbelievable by EMF. We all remember that song.
Yes, that's a jam.
Wasn't the tone of that song, that wasn't your unbelievable in a good way. That was your unbelievable and I can't believe how much I hate you kind of way.
Oh,
am I wrong about that?
I have no idea. You might be.
It's been a while since I've heard that song because, you know, the absence is by choice since I heard it every 5 seconds.
When that song
became popular,
right.
I did not go to the show, but EMF played a gig at Club Rio, I think, when it was still around.
Right.
And I knew
really?
People that went, and they said they played that song like 3 times during their set.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Here's a good one. The best is yet to come.
Ooh. There you go. Heroes.
Yep. We have
David Bowie.
Are we allowed to say Big Pimpin' on this show?
Yeah, we can say that.
Okay. Melissa
no,
Shingleton.
Absolutely not.
Hey,
how dare you? What were you thinking?
I don't know what we are and are not allowed to say. I should probably figure that out.
Instead of saying Big Pimpin', say Big Bippy.
Yeah.
Big Bimpin'?
Yeah. Big Bippin' from Melissa Shingleton.
Okay.
There's one that I definitely don't think I can read.
How about Savage from Megan Thee Stallion?
Yes.
Lots of people quoting the song that has Booker's name in it.
That's right.
What is that?
I don't even know what the song is, but the lyrics is
Wet Like a Book.
Wet Like a Book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, This Is Why I'm Hot. That was a jam from back in the day. That was, I'm pretty sure that was a one-hit wonder from whoever the rapper was. Yeah. Some really good stuff there.
Yeah.
Moving on to our next question. You guys had Campaign on the show earlier today, and he told you guys that all he does in the NBA bubble is play basketball and then play video games and then play basketball and then play video games. So what
and
is...
And then sometimes basketball on a video game.
That's right. That's right. So what is one video game you guys would bring into the bubble? The one that you can bring.
Ooh. I mean, I have... My kids play video games, so they've got all the sports games, and I have access to it, and I just never fire up the PS4. So I would probably go old school and, like, NHL 94 for me. Or NBA Jam.
Now, when was the last time you played either of those, though, Vinny? Do you think you would still have it?
Absolutely. NHL 93, 94, 95, and that, yeah, that's like riding a bike. You don't lose those skills.
No.
This speaks to how weird I am or how weird I am about video games and about how I've got kind of like an inner mechanism that keeps me from getting too addicted with them. You know how I went out, because we talked about it on the show. I purchased The Show. At Vinny's recommendation, a great baseball game, and I got a really good golf game that I was playing fairly regularly for a while. So in The Show, I was a third baseman for the Cleveland Indians. I created a character and went through all of that, went through the minors, got promoted.
You're like Roger Dorn.
Yeah, I reached Game 7 of the World Series against the Cubs in Wrigley Field, and I've left it hanging. I haven't played
you're the deciding game. On whether or not you're going to throw the game like the Black Sox.
right. And for whatever reason, I never went and played that game 7.
Wow, it hangs in the balance.
Yeah, there's some weird psychological explanation to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. A couple of our responses. Dane Smith says, whatever Devin Booker is playing, winky face. Call of Duty.
What he's having.
Exactly. Call of Duty Warzone. Yeah. Average Super Dad says. Fortnite, quite a bit of Fortnite. Red Dead Redemption 2. Oregon Trail.
There's a good mix of new games and old games on this list.
A lot of Pong on this list. Yeah. NBA Jam. Mike Tyson's
Galaga.
Punch Out.
Tecmo Bowl.
Now Mike Tyson, he might punch you in the stomach, Vinny. You don't want that.
Oh, that's right.
You at least want that.
Yeah.
All right.
I did love the arcade, the stand-up arcade version of Punch-Out before Mike Tyson's name was on it. Man, did I love that game. There was another boxing game called Ring King. Do you remember that?
I do not.
Yeah, that was a fun game, too.
All right, moving on to our final question, you guys. I know earlier in the show you were talking about a warehouse that is full of airline peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Since... We're not really taking flights these
days.
Yes, of course.
We were talking about
obviously.
That.
Anyway.
Right.
And so
I love when you try to reverse engineer.
Well, she always asks me, like, why in the world?
Where did this come from?
Right.
Yes, I always ask for the context.
Yes, the context.
So the question, open-ended, what is the greatest snack food of all time?
Oh.
I got to go recent.
I know where you're going.
Dots Southwest-style pretzels.
Yeah.
Where do you find your Southwest variety, Vinny? Because I need to find those. I've only found them regularly.
I found them at... Not the last time I went, but I found them at Fry's before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Apparently, they have a bakery here in Arizona, so they should be pretty widespread. They have a bakery here in town, that company, so...
Is that right? Okay.
From what I've heard.
All right. I think I'd still... Nothing beats beef jerky for me. Nothing.
Huh.
Or turkey jerky.
Yeah.
Really? How many?
But you know what's weird? I'm the same with my jerky, and I suppose this shouldn't be weird as I am with steaks. I want the jerky more tough. I cannot stand jerky that is too soft and malleable.
Wait, how do you eat your steaks?
Malleable Jerky is a great name for a band.
Medium Well?
Medium Well. Yeah.
It hurts my heart.
It looks a little textured.
It hurts
your
my heart.
Heart.
It hurts it my heart. Say, my medium rare heart. It hurts.
Medium rare heart is where it should be at. You're exactly right.
He likes a good chew. He likes a good mouthfeel.
But well, I think I just stumbled upon one of our great national problems right now. We have too many nuts in warehouses and no coins.
Oh,
why don't
true.
We just use nuts as coins?
We could do that.
A penny
nuts
would be a
currency.
Peanut. A nickel would be a cashew.
Yeah.
A 10 cent, you know, a dime would be an almond, and a right. quarter would be a pistachio.
Then it would make sense when I say that I could say I'm literally getting paid peanuts.
That's true. That's true.
I will allow the use of that word.
Thank
and that.
You.
That would be great.
Very well done.
Very well done.
Yeah, you guys have converted or just were informed by your listeners. A lot of dots responses
yeah.
in this question.
Yeah, we illuminated like think, a lot of people.
I think we've done a lot for that company.
Yeah, I would agree. And they've done nothing for us.
I was going to say, where's that social studies sponsorship?
Nothing. I even put out a Twitter thread adding them to show my appreciation.
And
nothing from
nothing?
Them. Ingrates. That's the should be the name of their pretzels. Dots Ingrateful Pretzels.
Look, they are the snack of the gods.
Oh, they are.
They don't need our
no,
help.
No, they don't. They really don't.
That's fair enough. Well, my vote is for Cheez-Its, and that is all.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Cheez-Its are pretty spectacular. I'm a big fan.
Hard to go wrong.
Oh, I got an update on the Sweet Pippi Pickle Tortillas.
What do you mean?
Adam just sent me a private message. Who can I email the logo to?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm going to be outfitted in Sweet Pippi Pickle Tortilla.
That's great.
Thank you, Sarah.
Where's my email?
Thank you, guys.
We do social studies every day at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, Suns riding high after the buzzer beater win over the Clippers yesterday. They got the Pacers tomorrow. A couple of members of their team spoke, including Ricky Rubio. We'll tell you what he said next. Pickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Pickley, Vince Marotta.
Pickley and Marotta.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Cook on the spin. Fires for the win! Got it!
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, now you do.
When it comes down to this, to defeat L.A., there is only one person who can make the play. You'll know his name if you haven't yet, before the bubble's through, 'cause he's a bad man when he shoots. Thankful that we got him when he makes the spin. Releases at the buzzer, and we know we'll win. We have not celebrated a lot since we've had you, but you're a bad man when you shoot.
I mean, that's a big confidence booster. We wanted to get the last shot, though. You know, after we got the steal and the ball with 10 seconds, I just wanted to make sure I took the last shot, giving them no time on the other end. And that's what happened. I knew the double team was coming, so I attacked the opposite way. There's a lot of length over there with Kawhi, so pump fake, got him in the air, and fadeaway shot.
He is clutch, he always delivers. And don't forget, he's just 23. We had no hope, now we have a sliver for a playoff run at Disney.
You're covering Tom Waits songs now?
No, you don't. How dare you?
From Mulan.
How could you? Yes.
A movie I've never seen and now never will.
Oh. I'll Make a Man Out of You from Mulan.
Is that the Donny Osmond song?
It is. That yeah. is.
I just looked it up. All right. Quick turnaround, Jarrett.
Yes. Yeah. Wow, I had to. He's a bad man, that Booker, and I had to capitalize.
He is a bad man. the Disney musical stylings of Jarrett Carlin. And you can send those complaints to @JarrettGC.
@JarrettGC. They will.
Yeah, everybody in town still buzzing about Devin Booker's late game heroics. And he, you know, played a great game too. And I wanted to say this because we saw in the Dallas game, Booker got into foul trouble, and that was more a bench win. And I thought we were going down that road again with about 4:02 left in the first half. Booker picked up his third foul. Monty Williams rolled the dice, didn't take him out. Let him finish out the half. But Booker played the rest of the game aggressively and did not pick up another foul. And I thought that was kind of a key moment, showing faith in his young star. Hey, it's a tight game. We're going to need you down the stretch, but I trust you to make the right decisions. And he didn't pick up another foul. And you had mentioned the Ricky Rubio quote today, Bic. Here's the audio of Ricky Rubio speaking to the media. Booker reminds him of whom?
I was in the corner watching, and then probably watch it like 10 times in the room. The footwork is amazing, and just got goosebumps. It reminds me of Kobe Bryant, really footwork. And that happened because he put a lot of work in, and you can tell. Happy for him. He deserved it. I don't think he had enough credit for who he is and what he does. And hopefully he had more respect about that. But it's not about that. I think he said last night he wants to gain the respect of being a winner. He is a winner. Competitor, a great scorer. And now he needs a little more help from us to really, because nobody can take it to the next level by himself.
Yeah, obviously glowing words from Ricky Rubio, who's been around the block a couple times and has seen a lot of great players. So the comparison to Kobe Bryant, and to say that, you know, he is a winner. And the quote that Booker had last night was, quote, "I want a reputation in this league of being a winner. I'm through 5 years and I haven't gotten to that part of my career yet, but I'm working extremely hard as I can to get there, and I feel like we have a great bunch to do it." And that, that's one of the takeaways through the three games. It's still a very uphill climb for the Suns to get to the playoffs.
Yep.
They appear to be in a better place than they've been almost at any time in the last decade, outside of that first year of Jeff Hornacek's coaching reign.
And think about what they're doing without Kelly Oubre, with DeAndre Ayton being really kind of yucky the last six quarters, whatever. Well, that's not fair. He was fine in the first half yesterday. Without DeAndre Ayton being a star-level player. Now, and that's why what Tom Chambers said earlier was very interesting to me. If DeAndre Ayton takes that step and is a beast consistently, which he can do because we've seen it, then he thinks the Suns have enough. And it's a fascinating thing to think
about.
Here's
that Tom Chambers quote again, just about what they need to do for next year.
They just need DeAndre to become what we all believe he can be. And, you know, when he goes out there and he dominates, this team doesn't lose. They really don't. I mean, they lead the league in assists, and that is just such a telling thing. They shoot great from the free throw line, although DeAndre doesn't shoot any free throws, you know. So they just need him to step up and be a man. And when he does that, when he chooses to do that, because there's nothing holding him back except for himself, then this team could be one of those teams that makes the playoffs, and it's just a given every single year.
Development too with the Suns. The Grizzlies are on the court right now in Orlando, and they're down by 4 to the Jazz. And I know it's hard for Suns fans to root for the Jazz, but keep rooting for the Jazz.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and they're playing without Jaren Jackson, who's out for the rest of the season. Dylan Brooks having a good game for Memphis with 23. It's actually 87-83 now in the third quarter.
Yeah.
But about, you know, the team building forward, Cameron Payne has come in and made a contribution early, which has got to be weird to join a team midseason under any circumstance. But to join a team that hasn't played in 4 months and then, oh, by the way, you're going to be sequestered together in Orlando, it's got to be really strange. He hasn't missed a beat. He's looked really good. He joined us earlier in the show, and he talked about what he's noticed in terms of chemistry with this team.
Man, they just look like they've been playing together. They look like they've been playing together for, man, 10 years. The type of chemistry they have with each other and how everyone fights for each other, it's huge. It's big for a team. Like, Kelly's not in right now, but Cam's stepping up to the table, and And Kelly's giving him the same energy that he would if he was in the lineup. And little things like that, just the encouragement that you get from your teammates, build confidence for the whole team. And it's huge to have that every game, every practice, that you got guys happy for the next guy. That's huge for a team. It really brings a team together. And us being in the bubble really, really helps us out a lot because we're together all the time. We figure out more things about each other, and you know the chemistry just grows.
Yeah, and it's showing the way they're playing with kind of a cohesive vigor about them, and to see that scene in the locker room when Book walked in last night after hitting that game winner, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
As a longtime Suns fan, that gave me chills.
No, I agree. Listen, the ending of the game, the shot did the same thing.
The reaction also.
The reaction, everything about it was just. But it was everything we needed. It was everything that we've been missing for 4 months. That was like a bite of a sandwich that you haven't had in months. It's like you going and getting an Il Purista.
Look at you.
So, I mean, it was so rewarding on so many different levels. And they're reaping the rewards of it now. Everyone, you know, there's a lot of positive media, press, hype, all that stuff that they're receiving right now, and I just want this thing to keep going. This is what was getting tenuous to me about the end of the game yesterday with Ayton's play and with the defensive lapses in general in making it too easy on the Clippers to just kind of match bucket for bucket and all that stuff. It's right there for this team, and Devin Booker is clearly ready for the moment.
Yeah.
And that to me is inarguable. Who knows what he's going to do next game? He's gone 27, 30, 35 in three games.
I was never good at those on tests. Figure out the next in the sequence.
Yeah.
27, 30.
There's no pattern there.
Yeah. Okay,
you could.
27 plus 3 is 30 plus 5, so this would be plus 7. He's going to score 42. 42 would be the next number in that sequence.
Yeah, that's true.
I was good at that.
You would go 3, 5, 7, unless the pattern happened to be plus 3, plus 2, plus, well, whatever.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to, I'm a little behind on my, Jarrett, my computer is a little laggy. A minute to go in the third, Grizzlies trailing Utah by 2. And they're into the
that's
third.
That's too close.
Into the
Utah
third.
Should be winning that game more handily.
Grizzlies were winning big in the first quarter.
Oh, were they?
So, yeah.
Oh, they were up 6 after the first, and then Utah had a big second quarter.
Meanwhile, the third period has begun in Edmonton, and it's still 1-1.
Man.
There's a rhyme there somewhere. I got Jarrett's attention.
You're an epic poet.
Yeah, you're a poet.
There's Lin-Manuel Miranda over there.
So why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? That movie came on the other day, by the way. My 10-year-old transfixed every time that movie comes on.
Back to the Future?
Oh, dang, just it. Speaks to him.
I think it's pretty close.
Oh, man.
It's pretty close to a perfect movie.
It is. It really is.
What just happened?
The Predator scored.
I'm a laggy on this, too. Well, I'll watch it as we go to commercial.
All right,
break.
There you go.
Here it comes.
There we go.
Yuck. All right, the PGA Championship this week, the first major of the year, so we're bringing it out of the mothballs. Fantasy golf returns next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So we go to commercial break. The Coyotes are down 2-1. We come back from commercial break. They're tied again, 1-1.
Yeah, they waved off the goal.
Yeah, Matt Duchene offsides, and then Phil Kessel takes a slashing penalty. So Nashville is on the power play right now. But a good save there by Darcy Kemper. Still 1-1.
They're really getting dominated this game, the Coyotes. They're lucky that it's
1-1. This is the kind of game that very often you steal. I'm going to tell you one thing that I've had a random observation that I think is interesting. In the bubble for hockey and basketball, no matter what you want to say about the officiating, and Luka Doncic obviously got a ton of calls against the Suns, got a ton of calls the game afterwards, the crowd is not influencing referees, and I bring that up because in the years that I spent covering hockey, there were times when you could predict when a hockey linesman was going to call a penalty. You would do it if, say, the other team had 3 or so penalty kills in a row. Mm-hmm. If the other team had a penalty kill, then a 5-on-3 against. If the crowd's going nuts on the officiating, if a team gets something that people don't think they deserve, the crew might drop a penalty on them just to kind of level the playing field. I don't miss those days. I cannot stand when referees in either basketball or hockey can arbitrarily stop momentum, change momentum, trigger momentum, and not having fans in the stands limits that, in my opinion.
That's in general. That's like the one thing I was maybe looking forward to about Pac-12 football and basketball is the fans not influencing the refs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Derek Stepan.
Nearly had a shorthand to hit the post.
Yep. Shorthanded breakaway. This is, like you said, if they could steal this game.
Oh, yeah. It's just.
Oh, my God. What an impact on a crazy series already.
Yeah. We'll keep you updated.
Their next game will be during our show on Friday. So.
Oh, great. Yeah. 16-21 to go as they face off with 24 seconds remaining on the power play. I know I'm behind if you're watching on TV. I'm watching on a tablet.
No, it's all right.
PGA Championship, the first major of the year at Harding Park in San Francisco. It's a loaded field, so we thought, let's bring it back. We had a little fun with some fantasy golf. Let's draft again, shall we, guys?
Let's do it.
All right, Jared, have you determined a draft order?
Yes.
Four golfers each, snake style, four rounds.
Bickley, me, Eric, you.
Wow. Number one?
Let's give the juggernaut the first pick. Eric, wow. Two.
Yep.
Jarrett, three. And me, four. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
This time I'm going to pick guys that are actually playing. So that's
going
to work.
There you go.
That's going to work to my advantage.
All right.
Don't worry.
I will.
Just before we start, also, just to keep up, 91-90 now, Jazz over Grizzly. Start of the fourth.
Let's go, Jazz. With the number one pick, Dan Bickley selects from Arizona State University.
Pat Perez?
John
Phil
Rahm.
Mickelson.
John Rahm.
I knew you were going to take him. Good pick.
Thank you.
I'm picking Bryson DeChambeau.
Freak show.
I thought
Bryson
Eric was,
DeFreak show.
I thought Eric was second.
No, Eric third.
Yeah, I thought I was second.
Did I say Eric second? It was me second, Eric third. Sorry.
I was going to forget to take him anyway, so that's okay.
All right, go.
Bryson DeChambeau. All right.
That affects my entire board, Jarrett.
Penalty killed for the Coyotes.
Hey, all right.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to go with Justin Thomas. I think that's a golfer's name, right?
Yeah, you didn't
He's
even
on the list.
You picked a name so easy, even you couldn't screw up the pronunciation.
Exactly.
The pronunciation.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
It's never good to
mispronounce the word pronunciation.
Come on, Jerry. You need to enunciate.
All right, Vinny.
I'm going to go with, for my first pick, I haven't had him on my team yet, Rory McIlroy. And Brooks Koepka.
Oh, that's a solid twosome to get at the back end of a draft. Good job, Vinny.
Eric?
Thanks, Bick.
Okay, let's go with Xander Schauffele.
Schafflaw.
Schauffele.
Schluffy.
Schluffy.
Xander S.
I'm picking Tiger Woods, you chumps.
You can have him.
Yeah, okay.
What do you mean, you chumps?
Take him.
Boom.
All right. I'll bite. Give me Phil Mickelson.
Is there music in my ear?
Yeah, I just put a little music bed underneath it there. Keep the.
Ooh.
Oh, okay,
give me
good.
Phil Mickelson and.
Take another Sun Devil. Go for. Do a whole team of Sun Devils. You're halfway there.
Yeah, I am, but I'm not going to do
Pat Perez
that.
And Reggie Jackson.
I'm not going to do that. Give me Patrick Cantlay.
Oh, my goodness. Sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah.
How does he sleep?
Right. Ooh. Right.
So to speak. If you...
All right. Back to you, Jarrett.
All right. I'm going to pick Dustin Johnson.
Bad pick.
Oh, no.
Bad pick.
I misread the thing
Terrible
I was looking at.
The worst pick.
Slipper. Sleeper.
Why?
Sorry.
Yeah, you can't trust
winner,
me right
sleeper,
now.
Top
you
10
cannot,
lock.
No, no, no.
Then the
you
next one was
guy right now.
Star who definitely won't win.
Yeah, right.
That's the one
That's
I
him. That's him.
All right. Let's see. Too many names I can't pronounce on my list here. Let's go. Oh, here we go. Bubba Watson. Can't mess up that one.
Eric's picking names that he can't screw up, and yet he still screwed one up. Bubba Watson's off the board. I'm going with... I don't know. I just like this guy. Tony Finau.
Oh.
Tony.
And for my last pick... I'm going to pick another guy that I actually found myself rooting for in tournaments past. Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh. He's got tremendous hair.
He does.
I was just
It's a tremendous flow.
Dang you, Vince. I was about to pick him. I was going to say I climbed the mountain and I turned around and I picked Tommy Fleetwood. So I had this whole thing planned. He had to ruin it for me. I'll take Daniel Berger.
All right, I'm picking
Danny Berger.
Jordan Spieth.
Danny Berger. I think Wicked egg.
I've picked Jordan Spieth every single time we've done this.
Yeah. Are you going to do it again?
How many times have you
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, you can have him too.
Oh. I got all the biggest names. All right.
All right. With my last pick, I am going to go with a guy who I've picked before and he's given me no results, but he started to play well.
Victor Hovland?
No. Ben On. It's not spelled Ben On, but it's pronounced Ben
yes.
On.
Hey, would you pick the Manahana Rana Mana Mana guy?
Jazz Janata Tanawan?
Yeah.
No, not him.
No, okay. Oh. The Jazz Man.
Wait. How do you spell the on?
A, it's B-Y-E-O-N-G.
So, okay, I got the right guy.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Got it.
There you go. So you've got Rahm, Mickelson, Cantland on. Jarrett's got DeChambeau, Woods, Dustin Johnson, and Jordan Spieth. Justin Thomas, Schauffele, Bubba Watson, Daniel Berger for Eric. And I got Rory, Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau, and Tommy Fleetwood.
Big he's got a good team.
Big burrito wager.
Absolutely. We got a lot of burritos in the balance over the last 6 months.
Yeah, there's some pending burritos, and I think I owe two.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've not fared well in this competition.
Wait, are the size of the burritos getting bigger, too?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Hang up on him.
Is there any
hang up on him immediately.
Oh, baby!
Aw.
Update.
Look at that.
Coyotes.
Look at that. The Coyotes.
With a big goal. Beautiful breakaway.
Oh, it's Stepan. I'm just seeing it now.
It was Garland. Yeah.
Connor Garland with a wrister.
Oh, was that big. 11
on nice. Garland. Nice. Connor Garland.
Popcorn Garland.
I thought you were hanging up on him, Jared.
Hang up on him, Garrett.
He's gone.
This show's out of control. We'll try to control it in the last segment next. Mick Liamorata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Mickley and Morata. Song of the Day.
This was the song referenced when I went through my alphabetical list of bands on my Apple Music. A perfect end to describe Devin Booker's shot.
Yeah.
This is Atlas Genius. Now you know why I like it, right, Vic?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I can tell.
That's sounds like those 80s.
Very much so. Very
synthy.
Yeah, very synthy, very kind of moody and mysterious.
Cynthia Crawford. Cynthia Crosby.
There you go.
I would recommend. There you go.
How great is it right now to be like scoreboard watching and watching live sports with like interest and excitement?
It would be preferable if we weren't doing a live radio show during all of this. And regardless of what shakes out in the next 10 minutes in Edmonton, Coyotes do lead 2-1 over Nashville in this pivotal game 3. We'll have another hockey game on Friday during the show, 11:30. Game 4 will be Nashville and the Coyotes. We got the word of that during the show today. So,
yep. Jazz up by 5 with 5 minutes left.
I'm looking forward to, like, 2:01. I'm plopping down in front of the couch like I do every day.
Yeah, right. that's really like their existence. I know. Yeah, it's kind of like what we do.
A non-sports story. I don't know if you guys saw this story. It's a pretty crazy story, but I found this. It was on several different websites, but there was a guy, a Lithuanian man, who disappeared in Britain. His name was Ricardas Puisis. Last seen Saturday, September 26th, 2015, while working for a fruit and vegetable producer in Cambridgeshire, Eastern England. Sorry if that didn't fit into one of your three categories.
Oh, that's good. There's more than three. Those are just the three basic ones.
They assumed he was dead. They assumed he had been murdered. Nobody had heard from him. Nobody had seen him. But earlier this week, police revealed that the complete mystery that had been solved. Poesis was found living in a wooded area in the town of Wisbech. Very well concealed. He just kind of checked out of society, and he's been living in the woods for 5 years. I'm kind of jealous of this guy.
That's like what the Mets thought about Jonas Cespedes.
That's
just disappeared. And they...
Have you, I mean, this is a very, it's a dark thing to think about, but have you ever thought about the concept of faking your own death?
No.
Really?
No, I haven't.
You asked that like that's something that all of us ponder.
I don't. I'm not the only one that thinks about stuff like
I'm not saying I've ever come up with a plan. No, but it's
how
no,
possible it is.
No, I think Vinny's.
I'm not saying like I bought the mannequin or anything. And
no, but there are. I mean, in certain situations, you would. Yeah, you would wonder what havoc that might wreak on some people.
Or even not as dark, or just like checking out, getting completely off the grid, and just disappearing
like
into nothingness.
An escape from your daily life.
Yeah.
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 I think that stuff is fascinating.
It would be fascinating, especially when people would find that you were actually alive and actually be disappointed about that.
Oh, do we have to give back all your stuff now?
Yeah.
That's right.
Man, I said all those nice words at your
funeral. Dude, I thought you were gone.
I said all those nice words at your funeral.
That's right. That's right.
It turns out you're a jerk.
I'm not coming when you really die now.
Yeah, right. That's right. You got my one eulogy. You're not getting another.
A lot happened on this day in sports history. You ready for some of this, Ben?
I do. I am.
1921. Harold Arlen. Does that name mean anything to you?
It doesn't.
He was a radio pioneer. But on this date in 1921, he became baseball's first radio play-by-play man. So he described the Pittsburgh Pirates' 8-5 win over the Philadelphia Phillies on KDKA in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
He had also been the first radio announcer. He became that in 1920 when he read over-the-air returns to the 1920 presidential election between Warren G. Harding and Governor James M. Cox. He was also the first to announce
broadcast.
You were
nothing if you didn't have a middle initial in your name back then.
That is true.
It's true.
During his tenure at KDKA, he was the first to announce baseball, tennis on the radio. That was probably an idea that was not well
quickly
thought out.
I was going to say, what kind of market do you have for tennis on the radio?
Football and a boxing match. He did all of those things. I had never heard this name before, but he was instrumental in what we do for a living.
Sounds like a parody account for me, and not Jarrett Carlin, Harold Arlen.
Little known fact, Harold Arlen, still the play-by-play voice of the Pirates. He's 136 years old.
See, it is good to live to 100.
Yeah.
1948, Cleveland Indians set the American League record for grounding into the most double plays in a game. Six of them. It's been matched 13 times since. But the San Francisco Giants are all alone holding the National League record. They hit into seven double plays in a game in 1969. Imagine how frustrating that would be.
Extremely.
I mean, it's impossible for the Diamondbacks to challenge that record because they don't have that many guys on first base during
right.
the
game.
It's true.
1975, the Philadelphia Phillies started a game with eight consecutive hits in a 13-5 win over the Chicago Cubs. You remember that team,
the
Bick?
The
Cub. You remember that team, Bick?
What year?
75. Dave Cash. Larry Bower.
Jim Hickman.
He wasn't in the lineup that. I'm talking about the Phillies that did it.
Oh, the Phillies. Okay.
Gary Maddox, Greg Luzinski, Jay Johnstone, Tom Hutton. Mike Schmidt was hitting seventh.
Mike Hutton.
And Johnny Oates all hit safely against Chicago starter Bill Bonham. You probably remember him.
I remember
him.
Bill Bonham. Yeah.
He was yanked without recording an out after Schmidt hit a two-run homer to make it 7-0. The first out occurred when Phillies pitcher Dick Ruthven laid down a sack bunt. Phillies would score three more runs in the inning.
The Cubs were just, I mean, you talk about rancid bad in the 70s.
Yeah,
ugh.
They were bad.
Ugh.
In 1983, Dave Winfield of the Yankees had cruelty to animals charges dropped against him just a day after Winfield accidentally killed a seagull throwing a ball in between innings in a game with the Blue Jays. When Winfield... I don't even know what I just wrote here.
Okay, then.
What? You taking penmanship classes from Carl?
No, I typed it. I don't know. What was I thinking when I typed this out? The seagull was
written equivalent of the picayune right there.
Yeah, right.
But he killed the bird. Ball boy comes out to get it with a towel. Seagull was on Canada's endangered species list. And he stood there and he kind of mocked the situation. He put his cap over his heart and fans started throwing garbage at him.
Oh, yeah.
This was a big thing. Like,
attacked him.
Yeah, here was Dave Winfield that night.
I turned and whipped and threw the ball, you know, to the bad boy, and a bird happened to be there. And it's unfortunate. You think it's funny, but the fans were on my case, and it's tough enough to play this game.
Charges were dropped. He faced a $500 fine and a possible 6 months in jail for
that. Yeah, I remember that. It was like he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, it was. But I think he made it worse by kind of mocking it on the field.
Right,
yeah.
But is that enough to charge somebody a crime? Well, whatever.
It's Canada.
Yeah, gotcha.
Canada. Oh, Canada. Things getting scrappy in the hockey game.
Clayton a bit of a Keller skirmish. Just had a great chance at a goal, too.
And he got yanked down.
On this date in 1984, Edwin Moses of the United States took home the gold medal in the 400-meter hurdles at the Los Angeles Summer Olympics. That was his 103rd consecutive race win. He eventually would run the streak to 122 wins in that event.
Wow.
Maybe the most dominant single athlete ever when you consider that's how many times he won. Do you remember that when it was going on in real time, Vic?
Yeah.
He was a phenomenon.
Yeah. No, I know. He was like just a big, a dominating, winning machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember that well.
Steve Carlton, then of the San Francisco Giants, became the second pitcher to reach the 4,000 career strikeout mark. It was in a terrible outing, but he joined Nolan Ryan. Since then, Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens have reached that mark. And one of the biggest comeback victories in the history of Major League Baseball happened on this date in 2001. After three innings, the Seattle Mariners led Cleveland 12-0. After five innings, it was 14-2. But over the rest of the game, Cleveland scratched and clawed away at the deficit and tied it at 14 with five runs in the bottom of the ninth, highlighted by a three-run triple by Omar Vizquel.
Wow.
They would win it 15-14. Here's a name you haven't heard in a while. Jolbert Cabrera. Broken bat RBI single in the 11th scored Kenny Lofton. It was only the third comeback from 12 runs down in the history of Major League Baseball. And I watched the whole I watched the whole highlight package of it today.
That's awesome.
Vinny needs a life.
Good stuff, Vinny.
I'm learning along with everybody else. It's all about learning, isn't it, Bick?
Let's go Jazz. Yeah. Let's go Nuggets.
Enjoy the rest
coyotes.
Of 6 minutes
yep.
left. Ooh, that was a pretty close scoring chance for the Predators. Thanks to our guests today, Tom Chambers and Cameron Payne. Thanks to you for putting up with our goofiness. As always, we appreciate it. We will catch you tomorrow. Burns and Gambo are up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day, everybody.